Well, yesterday we heard about the parable of the sower and the seed. Today, the Lord continues with a different image, with the idea of the lamp and the lampstand. And you'll see here in Mark chapter 4 that the Lord gives us really four different ideas, four different sentences that St. Mark strings together into one sentence after another. But we see in Matthew's gospel that these four ideas, these four sentences are scattered throughout the gospel of Matthew. Obviously, the Lord gave sermons more than once. Sometimes Mark took these sayings that the Lord had given on different occasions and strung them together. So if you look at them, let's say one after another, they don't make sense. But when you look at them as individual sayings that the Lord gives us, we can draw some very good spiritual truths from each of these different ideas that the Lord gives us. In a sense, today Mark has taken some of the Lord's greatest sayings and puts them together in a string one after another. The Lord, it says to his disciples, and this is the first sentence, that is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel basket or under a bed and not placed on a lampstand. That's the first thing that the Lord says. Let's take a look at that. Well, the Lord gives us the image of a lamp. And he says, of course, in those days, the lamps were oil lamps, which would have a wick. And then these lamps, of course, were not brought into a room for the purpose of hiding their light, but for the purpose of bringing light. So the very nature, the very purpose of a lamp is to give light. So you would not bring a lamp into a room and then put a bushel basket on top of it. A bushel basket was about a 2-gallon container used for the measuring of cereal or vegetables. So you wouldn't put it under a bushel basket, or you would not put the lamp under a bed. You don't want your bed to catch on fire. Plus, you wouldn't be able to see the light from the lamp. So common sense tells us that the lamp has a purpose to bring light. So he's telling his disciples that we as Christians have a very nature, we have a purpose, and that is to spread God's light throughout the world. We should not keep our light to ourselves. We shouldn't hide it under a basket. That's why Christians are not supposed to be basket cases, okay? We're not basket cases. We want to be, instead, we want to share our light with others. We don't want to hide our faith. We don't want to keep our faith to ourselves. We want our faith to shine before others so people will see the good that we do and give glory to God and to help save souls. So he's comparing our faith with the light, and we can't hide it. We can't keep it hidden. We need to put it on the lampstand for all to see. Now, the next sentence that Mark strings together with this is, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be made visible, nothing is secret that will not come to light." What is he talking about here? Well, the Lord often said that what I tell you, disciples, I want you to proclaim on the rooftops. You know, what we whisper in the back rooms, I want you to proclaim on the rooftops. That the Lord was teaching his disciples sort of hidden things or private things, but he wants that to be proclaimed. That's why he would say, go out into the whole world and evangelize and spread the faith and go out and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the Lord gave truth not to have it be kept hidden among the apostles, but to share and spread to the whole world. So there's nothing hidden that will not be made manifest, nothing secret that will not come to light. The fathers of the church and the scholars also say that not only does it have that meaning, that what the apostles were told they had to share to everyone publicly, but that also nothing hidden will not be coming to light. If you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church and all the great catechisms, they talk about at the end of the world, at the second coming of Christ, everyone's good deeds and everyone's sins will be made known to everyone in the world. That's a teaching in the catechism, that whatever a person did for good or for evil will be made known to everyone in the world. So it's called the general judgment or the general resurrection, where we see how our lives affected other people for good or for bad. You'll see the good that Mother Teresa did, or St. Francis did, or John Paul II, or whoever it might be that affected us in a positive way. You'll also see how the life of Hitler, or Mussolini, or Stalin, or Lenin affected the lives of millions of people for evil. So we see how our good actions ripple effect down throughout the centuries, how our sins affect others as well. So everything will be made manifest according to the teachings of Christ and the Church. And of course, those who have committed sins, who have confessed them and repented them, those sins that when they're revealed to the whole world will not be to their shame, but will be covered by the blood of Christ and will be a witness to God's mercy and God's forgiveness. So then the next sentence says, Jesus says, the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. So what is this measure? And how does that affect us? Well, Jesus is saying that the more forgiving we are towards others, the more forgiving God will be to us. That we set the standard in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're asking God to forgive us as we are willing to forgive others. If we forgive others with a great capacity, God will forgive us with a great capacity. For example, remember in the kitchen you have the measuring spoons and you have the little teaspoon and then you have all the different measuring spoons. If your whole life you've only forgiven people with that little tiniest spoon of forgiveness, then you have to hand that spoon to God on Judgment Day, and He uses that to dish out your forgiveness. So I'd say get rid of those spoons, at least get a measuring cup, okay? The cup is a little bit bigger, but I would even throw that away and get a bucket or a trash can size of forgiveness or a swimming pool, even better, right? If you are loving and forgiving towards others during your whole life, then God will use that measure with which to judge you and to measure you. So we set the standard. If you are forgiving and loving towards others, then you'd be guaranteed that God will be forgiving and merciful and loving towards you. But if you don't forgive others, then you're tying God's hand for the forgiveness He wants to give you. That's in the Our Father, that's in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's in today's Gospel. The measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. And then the last sentence here is again another individual thought. To one who has, more will be given, but the one who has not, even what little he has, will be taken away. So this is a law. It's the law that is it's a physical law, it's a mental law, it's a spiritual law, that to whom much if someone has been given something, to one who has, more will be given, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What are some analogies of this? Well, in the physical world, if you have muscles but don't use them, you lose them. Remember when you broke your arm and it was in a cast, and then you get it out of a cast after you haven't moved it for a few months? It's shriveled up, it's tiny compared to your arm that you've been using. So the same thing with muscles. If you don't use those muscles, you lose them. Same thing with a foreign language. If you don't use the foreign language, you lose it. If you don't use your musical skills of playing the piano, practicing, you lose that. So we have to use our faith. So the more we share our faith, the more stronger it gets. If you keep your faith to itself, the weaker it gets, and it begins to shrivel up. And in the spiritual world, when we receive grace from God, if we use that grace, we get more grace. If you cooperate with grace, you get more grace. If you resist grace, you keep getting less and less. And the same thing with love. The more love you give, the more love you receive. If you want to receive love from others, then give love. The more kind and loving and generous and forgiving you are in sharing that with others, the more you get back. Everything in life is a boomerang. As you give, so shall you receive. That's one of the great laws of life. It's one of the great spiritual laws as well. So the more we love God, the greater our capacity, the more we will continue to love God. The more we learn our faith and study our faith, the greater capacity we have to grow in our faith. The more we share our faith with others, like using a muscle, the stronger it gets, the better it gets, and the more spiritually healthy we are. But the less we cooperate with God's grace, the less we get, until we finally don't have anything. So the key here is, if we have our faith, keep growing it, keep developing it, keep giving love, keep being generous. The more generous you are with others, the more generous God will be with you. And that is one of the basic principles of the spiritual life and all other aspects of life as well.